This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
I think we're live. Everyone can hear me, right?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Good. Welcome to this late night edition of Non Sequitur. We're doing the layout a little bit differently today because we have quite a few people in the call. I'll go around very quickly and introduce everyone. I will say that quite the start to this particular hangout because we've already lost a participant, and that is because they were wanting to go into an area of some of the subject matter we were going to be talking about, but they didn't want to provide the court documents or any types of video. So we hate to see her leave. Actually, I don't, if that's the way it's going to be. But that's the way that the cookie crumbles sometimes. But let's go around and say, Jim, we'll start with you. Hello, Jim. Nope.
Can't hear Jim. Muted, my dude.
I guess it would help if I unmuted, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would have to be the first one. Hi, everybody.
And Ocean?
What's up?
Scientist Mel?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
GE?
What up?
KC?
Hi, y'all.
Rags?
What's French for hello? Bonjour?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
I think that's everybody, right? I'm not missing anybody, right? Everybody here?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Good. So we're going to have a discussion that came out of probably the longest Twitter thread in history. And
accurate description.
Yes. It's been going on all day. I'm going to preface what we're going to be talking about tonight by just giving you my sort of my takeaway from some of the things that I've seen over the past couple days, just so that we're all clear on a couple things. And then we're going to have a discussion on whether or not the way that I see things might be the best way or might not be. We'll see by the end of it. But there are people in here that their opinions are all over the spectrum. And so you're going to be getting different sides of this argument here, and we'll see where we kind of land. I told them earlier that it would be kind of hectic because we've got so many people in here. So we're going to try to do a system where everybody gets a round of stating how they think about this particular issue. And then we will open it up and do maybe like a hand wave or some kind of trick to catch my attention. Whoever catches my attention, that's who we'll call on. So
make crazy, silly faces then, I guess.
Get to think
of Kyle! I'll
reflect my bald head into the okay. camera as much as possible.
That'll do it. Okay, so there were quite a few people who were upset, irritated, angry that I had JF on last night to talk about what we were talking about. And I'm fully aware of the controversies that JF has been involved in on his time here on YouTube.
He's Canadian.
He's from Quebec, or he's French Canadian. But I understand that. And I understand that there are people who don't feel that people who espouse the beliefs that somebody who's alt-right does should have a platform to come on and talk about that. I understand that as well. However, my ideology is such that I feel that getting these ideas that are can be harmful, can be extreme, discriminatory, these ideologies are best exposed, argued against when they're put out there, when you have a place where you can go and you can tackle these different issues and you have the discussion. I am not at all of the belief that ignoring them or people who have that sort of mindset and they're just going to go away. That doesn't work. All that does is push them farther underground, seals them up in an echo chamber, and the ideas get worse. They become more entrenched on or against what somebody like myself, who is liberal, tries to espouse because – you know, we're taking away, not giving them a chance to speak, not giving them a chance to be heard. I think of the example in Charlottesville. The first year that they did the white supremacy march in Charlottesville, hundreds to thousand people there at that one that marched. Fast forward to the next year. I think they said there was around 20 people that showed up. Now, that did not happen because we banned it. It didn't go from 1,000 to 20 because we banned it. It went from 1,000 to 20 because we allowed it to happen, because that's the way that this country operates. You can do that. And what people saw in that instance were people that they didn't want to be a part of. They said, whoa, this is not what we want to attach our name behind. So the bad idea was able to be put out there in front of everyone. People were able to see it for what it really was, and the right thing happened, which is the numbers died off. And that's what will happen if we continue to have a place where, yes, you may disagree with what they say wholeheartedly. I was able to sit there last night and hear actually two people that had rather extreme views and beliefs on things, and it didn't fault me. I wasn't supportive of those. Steve wasn't supportive of those. We asked several questions to push back on that. So basically, what you have in long story short, what you have here is a case of I am not going to not have the discussion because some people don't like it, because it makes some people uncomfortable, and because it pisses some people off. There are a lot of channels on YouTube, millions of them, and billions of videos. And if it ever comes to the case, which it will, because we put out about 9 shows a week here on this channel, you're not going to like all of them. You might not like a lot of them. and you have the freedom to go and watch something else. But I just want to make it clear that just because some things may be an unpopular opinion, that's not going to sway me in the decisions that I make. And I want you guys to know exactly why. And that's because I firmly believe that a lot more good is done when you're able to have these conversations. And I'll give you some more examples as we get into this this discussion. But I wanted to kind of like a brief overview of why we are here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So who wants to start us out with their thoughts?
I guess I can start out with an opposition.
Sure.
If you want me to
sure.
do that, unless somebody else wants to.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. With respect to, I'll take your Unite the Right example and kind of start with that.
Sure.
That what happened after the Unite the Right incident is this wasn't the first time that there'd been alt-right protests. That wasn't the first time that they'd gotten media attention. It was the first time that someone died at one of those events.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought a lot of immediate attention to it. It brought the president making comments on it. And it also made it so that the ACLU was able to put pressure on people that were on institutions giving them permits to protest. Those permits were revoked. It was also mm-hmm. the result of them being doxxed. It was also that drove that whole movement underground. And you know that there's a lot of stuff that spilled out from that. It wasn't simply because a bad idea got out in public. It's that bad idea got a ton of sunlight shined on it, in
right.
addition to a lot of
right.
There was a lot of public response to it, and someone died, and then they were able to be deplatformed systematically as a result. That's the part that I think that might be that's missing a little bit from your explanation.
No, that proves the point even more. And number one, they didn't have the permits revoked. They did have the permits. I read that this afternoon. They did have the permits for the second. That was my first question.
The second one and several subsequent events.
Right. But they didn't give them revoked, though. And my point ultimately, though, is that because they were put out there, all of these chain of events, and that's part of the bad ideas being put in the sunlight. People react to them. You have society that reacts very strongly against seeing these things. That's the way that it should be. And then you
right.
have things
and,
like this happen.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I want to get into like the particular issue that I had as far as what was what happened last night. As I don't have a problem with necessarily putting these people out in front of other humans and criticizing them. And this is what, like, there's been a big debate about Non Sequitur Show having on flat earthers and whether or not that helps the flat earther movement. My opinion is obviously not. You have people like Reds crushing them every single time. What my problem with what happened yesterday was you had, granted the conversation was about slavery. You had on someone who is alt-right, a white nationalist. You had on another person who's a black nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation wound up going to nationalism.
Sure.
There was no one to put an opposition to that, to those two extremists agreeing on that. And it's something that me...
Oh, I think that's incorrect. If you go back and watch, Steve and I pushed back against that very hardly on their ethnostate. I mean, we were bringing up all kinds of examples. Number two,
I'm watching,
not a mind
I didn't
reader.
See it as much. I think that there could have been a better response.
There's the thing, though.
Back on it.
There's the thing, though. Another thing that people are doing is that they're reading a name that's on here, and they're I've talked to three people today who have said they've made a case against why this person should be platformed, but they haven't watched the entire.
I watched the discussion. And what I thought that the pushback against the ethnostate argument was inadequate, and that we had JF and Psycho agreeing
sure.
on ethnostate arguments
sure.
and
yeah, they agreed.
Getting
yeah.
and without another guest that was able to really combat what they were saying, getting into the base arguments of what they were doing.
Number one,
like Russian,
I'm not going to bring in. I'm not going to bring in three people to cover an argument that I have no idea is coming. The debate was on slavery.
Yeah.
Okay,
I understand.
I do not have a crystal ball.
Fair.
I do not know where they are going to go. They happened to end up on agreeing with this. Now, here's what I will say about that, though. The fact that they agreed, when they initially agreed on that one particular instance, up until that point, it was contentious as hell. They literally, you could feel the hate coming out of the two of them based on what they were saying to each other. All right? Now, they agreed on this one instance, and they kind of lightened up on each other. Now, yeah, it was over something horrible, but these are the kind of things that we, these small moments like that. It's just like the black guy that I sent on Twitter. There was a black guy that went to KKK rallies for like 4 years. We ended up getting 200 KKK robes from these people because of moments where they're able to see kind of some similar ground and have some sort of framework that's kind of similar. It brings them together. Yeah, it's over something horrible, but for the rest of the debate, it wasn't as vitriolic. They kind of like eased up on each other and were able to have a better conversation overall. So yeah, they wound up agreeing on that. But I have no way of knowing that going
right,
into it.
I understand. I'm not all right. Let me make myself clear that I'm not saying that there was any intention of having that conversation. I'm not saying that you knew it was going to happen. What I am saying is that when you have that this could be a learning experience going forward, not to have a black nationalist and a white nationalist on at the same time without somebody that's going to be able to cover that base. Like, usually what you do is you have on somebody, like, for the non sequitur recipe is usually you have on somebody that's got a kind of a wacky idea, and then you have somebody that's on to counter that wacky idea.
Mm-hmm.
What happened yesterday was you had two people with the same basic wacky idea talking about a completely different subject. It's like having two people that are anti-vaxxers on to talk about the merits of smallpox. That's or the effects of smallpox or something like that. Well, then they wind up agreeing on anti-vax.
You assume that I know about psychopath atheists.
I mean, I did, but I'm assuming that you didn't know.
Good.
I'm under
that's
the
good.
Assumption that you did not know. I want to
correct.
Make that clear.
You would be correct.
So I think that it's something to know about going forward. I knew about Psycho. I'm pretty sure that Steve did, but maybe Steve didn't think about it or bring it up. Obviously,
I don't think
he
Steve did either.
Because you didn't know.
No.
But I like Psycho is from back in the Nadia days. Me and Steve are both from the Nadia days. He should be familiar with that because Psycho went viral a couple of times in that community.
Yeah.
And he was known for being the guy that gets along with Nazis because he agrees with nationalist arguments.
Yeah, it was a matchup that started out to be a slavery and ended up about ethno states.
Right.
I have no way of seeing that going forward, and that ultimately doesn't speak to the larger topic here, which is.
If I could interject real quick, because I disagree with Ocean on this particular point, because you characterized it as these two guys have the same crazy idea, but they were supposed to talk about another crazy idea. Most flat earthers are anti-Semites, at least the ones that I've interacted with.
Really?
So if I bring on a flat earther to talk about, you know, his flat earther thing, and then I bring on another flat earther to talk about some aspect of flat earth where they discuss things, and then for some reason they start talking about how the Jews own the media and they're controlling the media and everything like that, they're going off the rails at that point and not talking about what I brought them there to talk about. So it really doesn't matter if both people or both parties believe in crazy thing B, you're talking about crazy thing A. So
if you're going to have two people that are supposed to be debating each other and they start going off on a subject that is pretty reprehensible in agreement, like have somebody that's going to be able to combat that kind of thing.
Well, so how did you?
I assume that you're good at dealing with anti-Semitic arguments, given your familiarity with that subject.
John, I agree with you to an extent, but the analogy that you used, it is such a narrow trail and a very unlikely course to take, whereas the connection between slavery and nationalism is much more obvious. I think is what Ocean's trying to say.
It's really regardless of which crazy ideas are supposed to be talked about at that point. Like, I feel like that's just sort of picking hairs.
Still identify as nationalists.
Can I
chime in for a second?
Sure.
So the thing that I, you know, and I was watching it, when you have people on that are very strong in nationalism, it's going to be very difficult to keep them on track to this one particular crazy idea with slavery, because this is an opportunity for them to use this particular large audience to kind of push their ideas on what they want to talk about. So if I if I were to get an anti-vaxxer on my show, for instance, if I had two of them and I wanted them to talk about something unrelated to anti-vaxxers, you know, or whatever, I wanted them to talk about something unrelated, they are probably more than likely going to use this opportunity to slip in something with their particular views, even if they're problematic. And maybe that's not even what I was trying to get them to do.
100%.
But I have inadvertently opened myself, not only me, you know, allowed them to kind of validate their particular views by giving them such a large platform to do that. So I particularly, for my particular shows, I don't have people like that on there, but I do talk about controversial topics, but I'm very careful about how I go about it. I cite what they talk about, but I don't particularly have them on there because if they go off the rails, now they have a video that they can use to say, hey, I was on Scientist Mel's show. Here's all this stuff that we talked about. And then that gives them an opportunity and it puts me in a compromising position because now I am now attached to somebody who's done this thing and it kind of makes me look bad too as well. So even as a person who hosts things, you have to be careful so that you don't end up in a situation like that where you've inadvertently allowed two people to both say, hey, we need ethno states. We need this going on. And I understand that the initial, and I listened to the initial talk about slavery and I thought, I wish I had been, you know, chiming in there because he brought up slavery is similar to marriage. I'm like, yeah, no, it's not. And so they're going back and forth with all this. And I'm like, okay. But when it goes off the rails like that, anybody who has extreme views like that, you had two extremists on there. They're going to, at some point in time, move it towards they get to push their own agenda.
Hold on one second. We're gonna get
to
around.
Clarify real quick.
Let me just speak to her point real quick. I disagree with that. I'm of the belief that even if they go off the rails, they're presenting a side that exists in society that doesn't get a lot of like play out in the open. And you have two people there, and you have them there to where you can ask them questions. Like doing a video or, you know, just talking about it is one thing. Like you can do a video response, but you're literally able to ask them particular things about their ideologies while they're there. I think that is beneficial it can be very beneficial in order to
a degree.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But you weren't prepared for that.
Sure.
Neither were they. And neither were they. So they
did
don't
watch
have a chance
it?
To go and do a reaction video and to go in Google search and to go see what the leaders of their organizations think and go to their forums and get the answers that they need to combat, your defenses. I mean, you don't have to be very knowledgeable about bullshit to spell bullshit.
Did you watch it, Mel?
I watched the slavery portion, and then I saw it go into the ethno states. I didn't have as much time to prepare for this, but I wanted to talk a bit about.
If you go back and watch it, you'll see that we did fine pushing back against the ethno states issue. That wasn't a problem.
I am a strong proponent of the idea that silence is enabling, that science enables and condones people to continue promoting these ideologies. And I don't remember who said the quote. They said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And I think that silence can come in.
Oh, you don't have to be silent.
I don't think we should be silent about it either.
But you can be silent in many ways. You cannot talk about it at all. You can only talk about it when it comes up. Or you can be proactive about it and seek it out and face these ideas. And whenever you're proactive about it, you know, you're not reacting to something. You know, you're getting it to where they are reacting, to where you are getting them to combat their own ideas. Because if you're just constantly reacting to their proactiveness, then they're not getting a chance to learn that they are at fault anywhere.
A lot of these people, they're not going to learn it. They don't really change their perspective.
Sure, a lot of them don't, but some do.
No, can I say something?
Sure.
So as someone that hosts a lot of anti-vaxxers on my own page through my column on Without a Crystal Ball and having dealing with like a lot of these very controversial topics, for me personally, I have found that knowing my platform is as large as it is, having, you know, hundreds of thousands of views every month, like Non Sequitur does, I have to be really careful about, like Mel said, what I choose to promote and what I choose to allow on my, in my world. And on my page, I have a pretty, like, I got into a fight in the chat last night while watching the show because I didn't think that either one of these men deserved a platform because their views were so extreme and so harmful. And not only that, they were talking about things, and honestly, the female voice was completely excluded, which bothered me.
I agree with that.
Like, the female voice was completely out of this conversation, which bothered me to a level where I actually had to turn the conversation off and stop watching, because they're talking about oppression and you're completely negating that there's an entire population that's half of the world that is the most oppressed out of anyone else.
It was a debate on slavery, though.
I know, he's talking about reparations, and he's talking about an ethnostate, and he's talking about like racial cleansing.
Am I supposed to have people on standby that can just come
in?
According to you and Ocean, I need to have people on standby when it goes.
Well, I just
that's okay. Wait, like, Kyle,
No. I don't think that's what I'm being called out here.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is the way that the conversation was going is you're talking, they started talking about the oppressiveness, and slavery is oppressive. But at the same point, women in many parts of the world live in slavery to this day. And so if you're going to talk about slavery, to not include the female voice is extremely detrimental to the conversation. I got into an argument within the chat because I said that the white nationalist points of view were so toxic that I didn't want to listen to them. But, and then people were like, oh, you're a moderator. How can you say that he shouldn't have a platform? I'm of the opinion, and I realize that not all of you are, but I think I'm more on Mel's page here, that some of these points of view don't deserve the platform that all of us have. We have the opportunity to like inform and help others without exposing these communities and giving them publicity and energizing them.
Then don't platform them.
Okay. Because you've said that I think you should have people on standby. That's not necessarily my opinion.
Obviously I was being hyperbolic, Ocean.
Well, no, I understand. What I'm saying is that when you have somebody like JF on, the person that you choose to have go against him should not be somebody that holds nationalist views as well. That's one of those things where you can look at where the conversation is going to be and see where it's going to go.
There's a lot to get to, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on who I should have debating. This is the broader picture.
I think this is kind of
the key to the point is should the people with these extreme views be allowed to have a place where they can come and discuss things. That's what this has a lot to do with.
I want to jump in.
So the reason why I'm hammering this is because
I'm going to let you make one more statement on it, but after this we're moving on. I'm not spending 10
minutes
on
it. We have to hear the same thing again.
If you're going to have somebody that has a nationalist view, the person opposing him needs to be somebody that can destroy that. It's fine to platform these guys. But they don't need to be doing them two at the same time.
It's okay to platform these guys, but one of them has to lose.
Yeah.
The right person has to lose the debate.
So is it really like even keel when you have on a flat earther? Is that the opinion for here?
Sure.
Do you think that that's an even?
They think it is.
So when you have on somebody that's like, you know, got a PhD going up against a flat earther.
Okay, you know, like, it's really hard for me to take it seriously. Like, you try to, you know, diss that particular area, because every time that there's a flat earther on the channel or whatnot, you have a slew of people in there that say that the globe earther got destroyed. And of course you're going to have the people that are on the globe side saying that no, the flat earther got destroyed. So, I mean, I feel like this particular point is kind of moot. I get that you want to have somebody decent on the opposite side to combat like a bad idea, but the fact is that they had two people on, or Kyle here had two people on that were on opposite sides of this one particular question. And yeah, they went to the ethnostate kind of thing, but I mean, you can't honestly expect like them to just have experts on hand every single time they go live, because some wild-haired thing might come up.
That's not my position, man.
They weren't able to vet or do deep background research on the two people that they had.
It doesn't take that much deep background research to understand that Psycho is a nationalist.
Okay, then the audience will understand that as well.
Good.
Yeah,
We're moving on. All right, who hasn't spoke yet?
Rags. I haven't said much. I'll say something. Yeah. So I think one of the things that comes to my mind constantly is, I'm just a little curious, how stupid do you guys think your audiences are?
They're not.
Okay, because I would agree. I think that my audience is fairly intelligent, and I think that when you have a crazy white nationalist and a crazy black nationalist talking about their crazy ethnostates, I don't need to handhold my audience who's listening to that stuff to the position that this is a crazy idea. I have some faith in my audience. God forbid I use that word in this channel. I have confidence in my audience to be able to be adults for the most part, to be able to understand that some ideas are just not really going to catch on with the broader public, which is why they have it, which is why you have to go out looking for black nationalists and white nationalists, and why they don't get a lot of playtime, and why people generally are very they're not really into the whole ethnostate thing. I would be perfectly confident having a crazy black nationalist and a crazy white nationalist on my discussion debate channel, because I would have confidence in my audience to be able to understand these are probably, I would say, demonstrably very silly ideas.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, and if you looked in the live chat, I mean, that's basically, you know, how everybody was taking it, with the exception, I mean, even the people who were outraged by it, they knew it was bullshit, you know, and the people who weren't outraged by it knew it was bullshit. So everybody knew it was bullshit, just people reacted to it differently.
But do you think those are the only people that are ever going to watch your video? Is just your audience? Do you not look at any further than that? So...
How many people out of a thousand have to be convinced of a bad proposition until it's no longer justified to have the opposing opinion on the discussion?
Correct. Right. And like he was saying, like, you know, we should have those on, and there's such fringe views that we have to go out and find these people. But the problem is that big ideas start off as small ideas. And that was something like I was talking earlier about being proactive and seeking out these bad ideas and facing them head on before they turn into a self-induced and they just breed amongst themselves and spread their bad ideas and grow into a colony. And then before you know it, it's out of control.
Well, you should nip things in the bud, but at the same time, it needs to be in a more controlled environment if you're going to take on one nationalist at a time, not two. I kind of agree with that.
Sure.
But,
right.
So, I mean, so, you need one and a strong opposing view to that.
But it was never nationalism. It was never slavery.
I don't think so.
I get that.
Right.
Y'all, this is Casey. I'm going to jump in here for a second because I literally have had not one single second to say a thing. So, I feel like you guys are trying to... you're expecting people to be able to control things that are not necessarily controllable all the time. You cannot necessarily, you have moderators, but the moderators should definitely, you know, guide the conversation. If they go off topic, you guide them back. And I think that's what Kyle and Steve typically do in their shows, or whoever is on the show moderating. So, like, I think you're trying to control, like, is... Like with Mel, are the only people who are going to see this your audience? No, but you can't control that particular thing. And so I don't know. I feel like I feel like there are a lot of things you can't control. You control the things that you can. And, like, right. I wouldn't have JF or a white nationalist on my channel, but I don't have a debate channel, right? So I think there are some cases in which we shouldn't platform certain people. And in certain ways, if you're just going to have somebody on there just to spout their ideas, that's different. Because one of the things I heard a little bit ago was who you're going to promote. When you have somebody on your channel, that is not necessarily promoting them.
Exactly.
And a lot of the people that you have on your channel have more followers or subscribers than you do. So, like, you're not providing them something they do not already have.
Yeah, but I think what Ocean and myself and John were trying to get at as far as the white nationalist thing is, like, if you have prior knowledge that they're both nationalists and you had them on a completely different subject, like, that's just a bad idea from the get-go. Or, I mean, it's just something that should be prepared for. I mean,
I have a question for Casey. What particular people do you not want on your show, because you mentioned that there are some cases where that's not allowed. I'm curious to what your ideas are for that.
Oh, no, not that it's not allowed. I'm just saying, like, for my personal opinion, like, me, I wouldn't put JF on my channel at all, no matter who he was against.
You mentioned that there are people that shouldn't get platforms. That's what I was saying, that there are cases where you shouldn't do that. I was just curious who those are.
Well, I don't mean generally speaking. I mean, I wouldn't do it. But again, I feel like other people have the right to do it if they have the appropriate setting for it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't. Okay. I don't think that people. Kind of like I said, I don't think people should just be put on and allowed to spout their ideas unchallenged. I think that's a bad idea.
So, like, I would be against Matt Lauer having a white nationalist on the Today Show. But I would not be against a white nationalist going on to a debate channel and talking to somebody with an opposing view. In other words, I have no problem with bad ideology given a platform so long as it has opposition.
That's how we determined they were bad ideology. When was the last time you saw the Today Show?
Yeah, Matt Lauer isn't on the Today Show.
Matt Lauer got his little... I forgot about that.
I think that everybody can also agree in here that show in particular was hijacked. Like, we're not saying that there was any intention of having two nationalists on to discuss nationalism.
Right.
The show was hijacked.
Today Show. I'm talking about
Non Sequitur.
Yeah, but so what? They went to a weird subject matter. So what? It was a one off debate. What is? I don't get why we're beating up on that one topic. It makes no sense.
That's an issue. Yeah, I don't think that one topic is a big deal. I don't think that's a problem. But I do think that overall, though, it is a very serious issue in the community, and that it does need to be talked about in general.
Yeah, see, things need to be talked about.
Well, when they started talking about the ethno state, to me, it just got really uncomfortable. And then they're agreeing with each other. Mm-hmm. That, like, they could separate the country and have the whites over here and the blacks over here, and we shouldn't mix. And, you know, like, my son is part Native American. And so I got offended because I'm like.
So?
I'm just.
These conversations are going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes these conversations are going to be uncomfortable. Listen, I sit here in this chair every night almost, and I get uncomfortable at some point in this chair, hearing the things that I have to hear night after night, whether it be dragons in the Sahara or these things. If you're going to say these things get hijacked by people going off on the rails, then that would mean that 90% of these conversations that go on here are hijacked in some way or form, because they will start out with one particular topic and move off into 900 different things. The key here is, though, it's only a problem because the person that it was going off the rails with says things that a lot of people don't like. That's where the heart of this goes to.
How did you guys determine that ethno states are so bad if there was nobody on the discussion to oppose them?
Well, that's
I think you're a straw man in our complaint. That, dude.
I'm not saying that's your position.
Well, right. But to respond to what you were saying, I mean, would you have a problem with people talking about ethnostates, but in a debate against people who were against ethnostates? Would you not be interested in watching something like that?
Me?
I'd be interested. Yeah.
I would be more comfortable if we're talking about ethnostates in an environment where there's not, like, two people agreeing that we should be in an ethnostate.
What I mean is that there's one person who agrees that we should be in an ethnostate and another person who thinks that we shouldn't be, like, if there was opposition.
Correct. Like, I feel like you need to have balance in those kinds of situations. And the conversation got extremely uncomfortable because you have two people agreeing that, yes, this is what we should be doing. And everyone should be white and everyone should be black. And that's
right. But what do you do whenever it does go off into that rabbit hole? And I mean, all you can do is redirect it back. I mean, it happened, but it's not like that was what the debate was over. You know, it wasn't over. Is nationalism right?
Right. I
do agree that there should have been a little bit more foresight. Like, those are really, it's really, really close to nationalism. So, like, you probably should have thought about that. But love you, Kyle.
You don't have to feel any pity or anything for me. I am very well firm and confident in the position that I'm taking. I've had a guy sit across from me in the live chat. Somebody remind me. I've had a guy sit across from me on this show and look at me in the eyes and tell me that I deserve to be stoned to death because I'm gay, and we were able to have a conversation past that. And that's because I am not going to shy away from a conversation that might make me uncomfortable or might make me angry because they say things that I don't like. That's life. People are going to say things that you don't like. People are going to make you uncomfortable. You either have to run as far away from it and not go around it, or you have to get over it and push through it. And a lot of times, if you get over that hump or that initial disagreement that you have, you might actually have a fruitful conversation 9 times out of 10. I'm going to use the example of Brittany Simon and Sargon of Akkad when they came on here. Both of them thought that they were going to hate each other because they're on two completely different ends of the spectrum. After the show was over, they sat in the call after we had stopped streaming for like an hour and a half. We were all talking. They were making connections. The incel debate. Do you know how many people I had email me telling me, stop giving the incels a platform. All they do is espouse hate. They're extremist. You need to stop giving them your platform. Well, I kicked a guy off on that first incel debate. It's King Gigacel, and he may be watching. I kicked him off because of the things that he was saying. He was that bad. And he emailed me saying, I want to come back on. You know, I want to have a talk again. I was like, no, I'm not going to bring you back on. And finally, after like 3 weeks, I broke and I brought him back on. And I don't know if Shannon's in the call or not, but the next day he quit the incel forum. He's been active in our Discord and the rest of our social media. He's there every day talking to people. You can tell a huge change with him. And why is that? Because I was willing to have those conversations with him. If I'd listened to the majority and just said, no, I'm not platforming him. All I do is espouse hate.
Have you verified that he quit? Have you verified?
Oh, yes.
Did you verify?
He's just pretending.
I don't know. I mean, these guys tend to pretend all the time on the freaking internet. I'm a victim of
Gigacel. If you're watching, I think you are. Dave will give you a link to come in here, and you can tell.
I really don't want to talk to a person that's been that. It's I have a history.
That's been involving. That? He's not that anymore.
I'm sorry. I need some better verification than that. Other than, oh, he just told me he quit. I need something more than that. I'm not going to be in the call with an incel. I'm sorry.
I'll be in a call with an incel.
As being a woman who's been assaulted, I really don't want to talk to people like that.
Okay. Jim?
So I think one of the biggest problems in society and the reason there are so many bad ideas that are so prominent and not even just ideas, just bad actions is because we tend to look at bad ideology and bad actions and bad behavior and do nothing about it and just say, well, it's somebody else's problem. Somebody else is going to come along and fix this. Somebody else is going to come along and make the difference instead of stepping up and being that difference. And I understand that not everybody's made for that. Not everybody is able to do that. And I understand that. But you should not denigrate the people who do have the ability to do it. The people who do want to step up and be that person and say, man, that is bad. I need to go walk over there and do something about it. I'm not going to wait for it to get over here.
I think the incel thing is a really good kind of place to go along with that. I think a lot of people, like a lot of incels, are in those communities and are in those circles because they feel like nobody else they can't reach out to anybody else, and they find a community that they feel really supports them. And maybe it turns out toxic, maybe not. But the last thing that you're going to do if you want to change their mind is instantly treat them like they're terrible, horrible people, and they're going to do terrible things to you, and that they're awful, when a lot of them, I feel, are there out of desperation or confusion, or they just don't know. And I think that, like, I was raised Catholic, and I didn't become an atheist because I stayed in the Christian bubble.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
I don't think that anybody is saying that we shouldn't have the conversations, or difficult conversations mm-hmm. shouldn't be had.
No, some people are.
Nobody's saying that.
Is that
some people are?
I think that the people that are in this conversation are saying yes, we should have those difficult conversations.
I think they're saying that we can have the conversations, but I think there are some people in this chat, or at least one person in this, who thinks that it shouldn't be with a person, a representative of that belief.
Say again.
What?
I didn't understand that. Like, for instance, you shouldn't talk about incels with an incel. You should talk about incels without an incel.
Well, you okay, have so you're to. Are you talking about me? Is that what we're talking about?
At least you. That's why I said at least one.
Okay, so why don't you just address me rather than just beat around the bush? Let's get right to it.
Because it doesn't have to.
Because I didn't know it was just you. I'm not going to assume somebody else's beliefs. I've already kind of picked that up from you, but
yeah, I do take issues with incels and the fact that, you know, they do have forums where they talk about different ways that they can follow women and frighten them and try to, you know, do things to, yeah, you know, rape them. Yeah. This is a problem, and this isn't
hi.
This isn't okay.
Yeah, they've created horrible.
Shannon.
Can I? Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
Shannon, please.
Okay, so I'm the female who talked to the incels, right? So I chose to do that. Mm-hmm. I made the conscious decision to do that, and I have a pretty strong stance on situations like this. My stance in situations like this is, you know, you don't have to like what I do. You don't have to watch what I do. But if I allow people with dangerous ideologies to just culminate together without being countered, that only serves to help them propagate and further ruminate amongst themselves.
Yeah.
So if I make I understand that you don't have to watch, and I don't understand that you don't have to like it, but what I don't understand is having an issue with directly confronting bad ideologies. Ignoring them will not make them go away.
Yeah.
It just means that you don't have to see them.
Nobody's right? ignoring I mean, them.
I mean, I have...
So, so like, what is to be done then? Rather than, like, what is to be done? Do you cannot counter them? Do you just allow them to exist separate? Or do you only counter their ideas without them being there? Because then you run the risk of inadvertently strawmanning them or having the accusation that you are. If they are present with you, you can counter them directly, and there's no margin of error.
Okay.
Some of these people don't want to be countered. They don't. Doesn't matter how much you argue with.
If they don't want to be countered, then they're not going to have the discussion anyway. So you don't talk to those specific individuals.
Some of these people will come, will use, like, what I think what Mel's trying to say is some of these people will literally use these platforms simply for their own self-promotion. And
that's what they, I mean, the bandwagon effect is a bias that exists. Yeah. More people
but yeah, believe that's just a natural result thing. Of any group. That's just what some Muslims blow themselves up. So,
right.
Okay. I want to make a point about the bandwagon effect. That's the main reason why we have anti-vaxxers right now, because they were consistently given a platform and they were allowed lots and lots of time. Netflix is just now removing vaxxed. They're just now doing it because we're having consistent measles epidemic. But the thing is the whole anti-vax movement was based on the fact the media kept talking about it. And they didn't retract very much at all, and they didn't counter that a lot. Now, I understand that with the non sequitur show, they're trying to counter a lot of these particular perspectives. But the thing is, the risk that you run is the more you allow people to talk about their perspectives, the greater the risk you have of what's called the bandwagon effect, where people will start to relate to that, and it can increase their numbers. That is what I'm trying to say. So if you're not careful about who you have on your show, they might very well use that as an opportunity to push their platform. That's what I'm saying to you.
Right. Yes. But they can have an opportunity to push their platform. But at the same time, by showing up, they can preach as long as the day is long. And it's if they're being countered, if they're being opposed, if their ideas are being combated in a productive way with somebody else who's knowledgeable about it, then it not only helps them, but it helps any of these people who are following them. I mean, who's to say, like, for instance, like if Red Pill Religion was on, I'm not going to bring up the incels anymore. If Red Pill Religion was on, I can't stand Max Colby, and somebody was against him, and he's promoting his Red Pill Religion. Who's to say that one of his followers won't watch the video and say, that other guy's right. Like, I don't think I agree with Max anymore. I mean, like, so maybe it's not about changing that person's mind, but maybe it's about presenting an argument to the public that somebody can analyze and get two different perspectives at the same time without the additions of people running to Google and researching and doing response videos, and it's forcing people to respond in real time to opposition to their ideologies that otherwise would not have gone opposed within an echo chamber.
But some ideologies are just flat out false and don't deserve a platform. Anti-vaxxers.
There's correct and there's incorrect. I mean, correct. So
like,
it's just,
you everything know. That the anti-vaxxer says is based on conspiracy theory that's been debunked and is false. So giving them a platform only further perpetuates, like,
no. To be fair, though, Katie,
I don't disagree with you guys now.
To be fair, we talked about having an anti-vax debate on the show that we do on Sunday. That's giving them a platform.
Right.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, like, if we're going to have a debate, we're going to have someone like an immunologist that can counter what they're saying, that can debunk that.
That's what we do here.
Yeah,
that's what we do every time.
Yeah, I think that the reason why this is coming up is because of the hijack situation. It's that usually what NonSecretary does
fuck
is
off,
they have.
Fuck off with this hijack.
I'm agreeing
one time.
With you,
fuck
man.
Off with it. What
your usual thing is that you do exactly that. I'm agreeing with you, Kyle. Jesus.
Kyle, do you think I would be on the? Do you think I would co-host a weekly episode with you?
Let me explain
why. Let me explain
my frustration then, because I'm hearing we can't give these people a platform. They don't deserve a platform. Yet I just gave an example of how we would be giving them a platform.
I think the only thing that Mel is arguing and what I'm saying is there has to be balance. And last night there wasn't a balance to the platform. There wasn't a balance.
So is the issue that nobody countered him strongly enough? Is the issue essentially that everybody here feels like he didn't lose badly enough? If somebody had come in and trounced him, would we even be having this conversation?
No,
of course not.
No.
So that's the issue, is that they didn't vet the opposition enough.
No.
How many people walked away from the discussion with JF and other person and became ardent ethno-nationalists?
I didn't hear the question.
I was saying how many people walked away from this terrible, horrible hijack discussion last time and became you know, ethno-nationalists because of it?
Nobody.
Okay.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing is, we're not.
Nobody became an ethno-nationalist.
But like people watching, you don't know who's going to watch.
Okay. So what, Katie, what I heard you say is that there are some ideas out there that are too crazy to even be discussed. Is that correct?
I'm talking, well, in terms of like anti-vaccine, if you don't have an opposing, like, yeah, some things are just literally crazy.
Okay, so we just got finished talking about how bad and the anti-vaxxers are and how bad the measles outbreak is and how prominent that bad idea is. Why in the hell would you not be proactive about that? Why in the hell would you not get an anti-vaxxer on, definitely, get them to make their best fucking argument? Hang on.
So,
get them to make their best argument against an immunologist and have it debunked right there in real time. What is the harm in that?
I am on Kyle's show, and that's like what I do for a living is like deal with these people. Yeah, I never said does. That. Don't even go there with me.
What do
like,
we all consider I, platforming, but, guys? But, crosstalking on platforming.
One at a time.
I think there's crosstalking on what platforming is.
Yeah, so
I think that's a really big issue that's going on here.
My idea of what a platform is like an audience. And what Mel was saying about the anti-vaxxers is that the media for years has not countered these documentaries and the information that's been out about the vaccine, like skepticism. And so they've allowed like documentaries like Vax to exist and to allow papers that have been debunked since 2010 by Andrew Wakefield to still maintain this mainstream idea that autism and vaccines are related, which they're not. There hasn't been a responsibility within the media to present factual information. And they're learning this right now that the problem is that there has been so much opposition that's been able to come into a platform where there's been dead material and there's been a material like there's been so much anti-vax material coming out, but not enough people like supporting vaccines coming up. So there's become a disconnect where this audience grew so much because there wasn't enough information countering it. Because in terms of science, vaccines are already settled as safe and effective. So there wasn't a need to counter it. So they took that space and they went a mile.
But and you're so, proving, here's the thing, Katie.
But though, that's
you're
the problem,
proving,
though.
You're proving the point. Hold on, Jim. You're proving the point. You need to counter those ideas. Those bad ideas have to be countered. I mean, that's what you're saying right now.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, I think, for the most part of the time, that's what at least non sequitur does. And that was kind of my point earlier. Like, I agree that people should not necessarily give their platforms to white nationalists or other extremist ideas to just spout their ideas with no counter. But last night, they countered each other until it went off topic. So that's what I'm trying to say is me personally, I wouldn't have JF, but they had a counter to JF. So I guess you need to counter the bad ideas. But here's the question I've been waiting to ask everybody. Do you think that people can't change their minds? Because that's the whole point of the debate is to get the best or to get the arguments out there and let the best one win. And maybe people will change their minds. Do you think people can't change their minds?
I think they can, but it's extremely unlikely in a lot of cases when you're dealing with people who are conspiracists.
I'll take that risk for the very few who will.
Sure.
And yes, for the people that are not watching quietly. It's the people that are watching quietly. You may never even hear about them.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's
change
what I'm talking
mind.
About. Yeah, I'm talking about
the people that matter. It doesn't matter at all. If the person you are countering doesn't ever change their mind, it doesn't matter if all of the people that are watching are now open to a new opinion. Here's another thing regards to platform that I haven't been brought up or I haven't heard brought up. So these people have audiences. They have audiences. They're influencers. They are influencing people actively every day. those audiences follow them to other platforms. If they're following them to a platform where they are now finally being cogently countered, this may be the first time they're exposed to a counter argument that can be effective against the indoctrination that they've been exposed to. If you say, don't give them the opportunity to speak, even if they're being countered, because you're providing a platform for the cultivation of their ideas, you're also preventing the platform for the counter to their ideas that may influence the audience that they already have.
Yeah, they'll just coagulate underground and become more extreme because they won't be exposed to opposing viewpoints.
What is an acceptable way to counter? What is an acceptable way to counter? Give me the list of the acceptable ways to counter bad arguments.
Indeed. But first, you sound really angry right now.
Yeah, like, why are you screaming?
Oh my gosh.
We've been dealing with this all day.
I mean, she's upset. I mean, and I think, yeah. I think
whether or not she's upset doesn't matter. It's what she's saying that's important. Her tone doesn't matter.
Right. I think her position is completely valid and she's passionate about it, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I also had a bad day, so you're right. My tone is coming through from a really bad thing that happened to me earlier today, so I will try to control it. It's just anyway, go ahead.
Okay, well, I was going to say, I guess, as like a piggyback, and then maybe we can discuss Shannon's question, but, I mean, honestly, do you guys know what the most detrimental thing that has happened to, like, the flat Earth community has been?
The most detrimental thing.
Debunkers. Been killing them.
No. No, it's not the debunkers. It's not the debunkers at all.
What is it?
Because the debunkers have been around for a while, and they have still grown. Jaronism's got well over 100,000 subscribers. These people have hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and they were only growing. But now this Behind the Curve documentary came out. Everybody's flipping out. Globusters actually shut down their YouTube channel now because they're being chased off the internet because they were literally just put in front of a mic and they were made to do, or they did experiments and were recorded by an outside entity doing them and shown to be fools. And now the like flat Earth community is collapsing in on itself. And you know why? Because the documentary just presented the flat earther's side. They presented their arguments. They did their experiments. And then the flat Earth documentary also had scientists that were there countering them, everything like that. So
same with young Earth creation. Same with religion in general.
And the flat earthers haven't changed their mind, but a lot of other people have. I think that's the important thing is that the flat earthers that were in the documentary haven't been impacted, or I mean they've been impacted by this, but they haven't.
Bob shut down his channel.
I know, but they haven't changed their minds.
I don't know how you'd get a metric of that. I don't know how you judge that.
What do you mean?
I mean, people are talking.
If they're shutting down their channels, I think that's demonstrably affecting them.
Yeah, I would think that is a thing, but I mean, if we're talking about the silent group and you know who isn't changing their minds.
I think they're freaking out like the behind the scenes stuff. You know, the channels are all like, you know,
it's easy to quantify because the amount of infighting has only increased since then. You've got flat earthers that are shitting on other flat earthers. You've got this whole community that's in disarray right now because of this documentary.
Flat earthers have been around since the 1800s. I mean, so they're...
Well, before that.
Yeah, they're not really going to go away anytime
soon. Well, no, they're not going to go away, but I was merely talking about the social media kind of, groups that have grown.
But to say that they've always been here is a fallacy. But to say that they've always been here is a fallacy because we've progressed in technology so long. I mean, are you saying that like 1,000 years from now there's still going to be flat earthers? I mean, I don't think so.
I don't think our goal needs to be
zero flat earthers or it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
the point is, it's having an impact.
Maybe a thousand years from now, somebody gets hit in the head a little too hard.
By presenting that side, their side, and creating that platform, essentially, it's having an impact. Globusters was a really big flat earth channel, and they did shut down. What was it, two nights ago? They closed down? It hadn't been long. Did we lose GE?
I think we did.
Oh, come back, GE.
So I think people are criticizing over platforming, it's not that, you know, it's putting sunlight on the issue necessarily. Some people are having that perspective. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, we can talk about that. But for me, when I'm criticizing platforming, it's when it's when you're having something exposed without opposition. And yeah. I think a lot of the things that we're talking about that everybody in this room is talking, I know. I think that when people in here are talking about platforming and saying that they're against it, a lot of the people in here are bringing up saying that's when something is brought up without proper opposition. Mm-hmm. That's it.
I agree with that.
I think that everybody here agrees.
I agree with that.
That there should be proper opposition for these ideas. Sure.
My point is, though, that this stemmed from individuals that I was dealing with all day long. I know Casey and Shannon were as well, but they had an issue, despite the fact, even if you have opposition or not, that there are some people that that and some ideas that should not have a place that they are discussed.
I have a question for you. How sure. would you feel about having a representative from NAMBLA on here?
From the
people NAMBLA. that want to consider having pedophilia listed with the LGBTQ.
The North American Man Boy Love
Association. You can say any organization, any person, I believe that idea should be put out to public and be opposed. Whatever it is. I mean, I don't care if they rip the heads off of sea turtles and fuck their throats. I don't care what it is. It needs to be put out there.
There's a popular YouTuber named Destiny, and brilliant guy. I mean, the guy he does all kind of debates. He's actually had several debates on incest, and Amos Yee he had a debate with about something to do with the efficacy of like child porn, I think, and how that goes into clinical trials. Anyway, very, very, very way out there taboo debate subjects. But he has a point when he says that if you can't have those conversations, then it takes
to not have them.
Yeah, it's a lot worse to not have those kind of discussions to some extent.
I had someone defending pedophilia like on my column this week after I talked about the Michael Jackson Leaving Neverland documentary, and I didn't shut them down because they were talking about this idea that he has a friend that is attracted to people that are younger, but he knows the difference between acting on it and like not. Like he doesn't act on it.
Not engaging doesn't make it go away is what I'm ultimately saying.
Yeah.
These things are going to exist. So
if you have the
conversations, I think you go a lot further. It's a much further benefit because not only are you able to understand like maybe where they're coming from, you might have an opportunity to intervene, maybe help, maybe you break through, but you're at least talking.
Yeah. I didn't shut them down and say like, oh, you're wrong for supporting your friend. Like clearly Michael Jackson acted on his pedophilia, but his friend doesn't. So,
I mean, there's what's the old commercials? If you don't talk to your kids about drugs, then who will?
Yeah.
Can I ask, first I'm going to say I'm sorry for not mitigating my tone. I've had an exceptionally long day, both on social media and off social media. So I apologize. Okay. I should have mitigated my tone far better. But
Are you feeling all right?
Oh, thank you, Mel. Yeah, I will be okay. But yeah, okay. Aside from that, thank you. here's my question. And this is a question that is important to me. And I don't want to say it with tone because it's important to me to answer. This is where it gets convoluted in my head, and I think it's important to address. What is an adequate way to counter? I think everybody here would agree that these bad ideas need to be countered. But it seems like there's a line that isn't clear to me. Like a response video? Okay. An article written? Okay. Soon as that person's present and can be countered in real time, not okay anymore. I don't understand why, because that seems to me like it would be the most effective way to counter.
If someone who's not very good at making response videos makes a response video? Should that not happen either?
Right. Like, why is there a differentiating line where it becomes important that if the person's physically present, it's just no longer okay anymore? And I understand that there's sometimes you're going to have the best of intentions and think that you're setting up a debate where that person is going to get slaughtered, and maybe they don't. You don't know the future.
See, I think the thing is you have less control if you don't have like very well set things. So when I write something or when I discuss a particularly controversial topic, I take all of the evidence, I make my sources available, I say this is where my information is, and I address it. Or if I want to, I can talk to that person, get their information, but I ultimately can control how that content is delivered. And I think that's kind of where...
But why do you have to control everything?
Because you don't want things to go off the rails, and you don't want to inadvertently give somebody a platform in that case.
That's what moderators are for.
But it doesn't always work that way, because when you're dealing with live streams and stuff like that, you end up in a debate where you have somebody that's paired up with another person, and this person has this very, very problematic view. What if what they say comes out on top and the other person doesn't effectively
That's an inevitable reality of eventually having enough discussions.
Yeah, it's just
exactly.
So you're saying that if there's a chance
conversations with anybody, because ever. We don't know what it is. We don't know
there's a chance
what,
you might
you
lose.
You can have conversations.
Yeah, because but you don't know that I'm not a TERF person. You don't know that I'm not an incel. You don't know that, but you have me on talking about something else. So that means we shouldn't talk to anybody face to face on a live stream, because their bad ideologies might come out.
I dig down pretty deep before I put somebody on my channel to find out what it is that exactly that they're doing, what their views are. I check out their social media. I look in pretty hard.
That's
your prerogative. It is
that is mine. And I understand that this is just what I do, but I do that so I don't have things go off the rails and I don't inadvertently have my particular space used as a platform for an inherently oppressive or problematic view.
I've never went to the extent that you did, and I too have never had that happen on my streams either. Not once.
Well, last night it kind of went off the rails.
Tell me where it went off the rails.
It ended up on ethno states, and that's not what the topic.
Yeah, why is the topic being about?
We went to
ethno
a different
states,
topic, but where did it go off the rails? Who left that stream thinking that they had a good point? And number two, you didn't even finish watching it.
I hadn't had a chance to.
Yeah. Hey, so how can you comment on it?
I got about three quarters of the way through.
See, that's bullshit right there. I'm sorry, but that is absolute bullshit right there. I have to call it whenever I say it. It's just.
What I'm talking about right now is the fact that everybody here had agreed that you had two people that were nationalists, and that was a problematic.
No, I didn't agree. That's a problem. I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah,
I didn't either. I did not agree that that's a problem. It was to me that's a problem if the topic was ethnostates, but the topic was slavery, and they had opposing views on that topic. So whatever else they may or may not agree on is not really relevant to that topic.
Here's a question. How should a host handle that situation when you have a topic switch up like that, and then you wind up into a situation where a subject like that is being platformed inadvertently?
Just ask him to get back on topic. Next question.
Is that it?
Or directly counter
it. That's the job of a moderator, yeah. Say, can we get back on topic, guys? And then get them back on topic.
Shannon,
have you ever moderated before? I said, or directly counter if you feel like you have the capability to do so. Like if somebody's introduced a dangerous topic and the two people that are there to discuss something completely different derail to agree on something shitty, but you feel like you're in a position to adequately counter that shitty idea, why not, you know, counter it in real time if you feel like you're capable of doing so, or get it back on topic.
Or say, guys, we need to get back on topic, and then to have them do that, which is what moderators are there for.
If you can't
moderate, then maybe you're not a good moderator.
It just doesn't make like the narrative that it turned into some we were sitting back, kicking, laughing about ethnostates from a slavery debate. It's just dishonest. And Steve and I did find countering a topic that went into an area that we didn't anticipate. Shit happens. It's not going to go to, it's not going to go, life doesn't go according to plan all the time. What you do, though, is you don't let it shake you up enough to where you say, oh, now I can't have these conversations anymore. I can't have these ideas, because what if it goes into an area I don't want it to? Whatever shall I do? I don't know.
Well,
I like that about life.
The fact of the matter is, though, is that these people are not going to change their minds just by exposure to our content. They're not just going to get their mind changed by exposure to reaction videos. They will only get that model that they've developed, that echo chamber, is only going to be broken in an epiphanic fashion. It's only going to be broken whenever it's shocked in a life-changing way, like whenever their views just get punched in the face and they don't have any way to validate it.
And who has to really counter anyway? One guy saying that he wants to have this part of the country for himself and can't tell you how he's going to distinguish which one are white people, which are pure white people, what that even means. And then the other guy is talking about people having to pay reparations, but can't tell you if it's going to be all black people, only black people that was funny. Only black people that had actual slaves in their lineage, or white people that own slaves, or all white people. Who has to really counter that? No one. You know why? Because it looks stupid on its face. I, like we said earlier, have more, I have more faith in this audience that watches this than to think that they're going to watch these two idiots talking about these sort of things and go, you know what? That sounds like a really good idea. We should jump on that. Yeah. If anything, they were for going the way that it should be.
What was Shan's question again?
What's the correct way to do it then? That's what it all comes down to me. Like, I'm open to hear. Like, it seems as though, like, because you can't predict. You can have all of the best laid plans, and you cannot predict what a human person is going to do in real time. You just can't. So the only way to the only way to prevent it is to never do it at all. And then you may miss every opportunity. Like, you kind of have to take the hits with the misses. And when there is a miss, you can't just say, well, that's it. No more opportunity to have a hit, because there was a miss this time. So derail everything. That's it. We're done. Nobody do this anymore.
In this situation, to answer your question, Shannon, I think if there would have just been someone that was less extreme on either end.
That's just a moderate ethno-nationalist.
No, I'm just saying, like, you're having you have one extreme and the other. And if there was someone that could have at least been in the conversation where it was a little bit more moderate to provide a little bit of balance.
I actually disagree. I think the more extreme you get, the sillier you look on your face.
And they look silly. That's what people are missing. No one walked away from that last night going, JF's got a really good point. Or Psychopath Atheist, he made sense. No one.
Well, in the chat, there was plenty of people that agreed with JF.
Have you ever been to a flat Earth debate?
Yeah,
the globe cards lost again.
Yeah, I don't think any of them had an epiphany during the video and said, damn, he's right.
Yeah, while it's on my mind, I think this is an important thing that we've crossed over that I think, especially nowadays, is very important to address. We've been talking a bunch about some individuals, but a lot of groups in general, incels, alt-right, ethno-nationalists, da-da-da-da-da. One of the issues that arises from a desire to want to control who does and doesn't have a platform is the fact that, especially nowadays, people are simply called things that they aren't, and they are demonstrably not, but the narrative sticks. There's plenty of people who, for whatever reason, think I'm alt-right, or a misogynist, or a racist, or a sexist, or a transphobe, fill in the blank, whatever word. They can never provide evidence of it. I've never been alt-right. I mock the alt-right. I think they're very silly. But there are always people out there who will say Rags, he's an alt-righter. He's been an alt-righter for a long time. So if you're going to go out and say we can't give alt-right people a platform, well, now for a lot of people, I'm fucked.
Well, I'm already also
Like 10 minutes ago, I was told I'm a rape apologist now, so I guess I can't be platformed.
Well, me personally, I can't get enough of rape, which is why I stuck around. But I think one of the issues is that if you're going to go around and say alt-righters can't do this, then there's going to be a lot of people, especially nowadays, like me, who, like, I've had people deny, like, doing work for me because they say, oh, I've heard things about you. And they're just blatantly untrue. But now, well, I got lumped in with that.
Well, my whole deal is, you know, if you don't want to promote a certain ideology, you don't want to be confronted with it, and that's fine. But, I mean, if you're against a certain extreme view, you get to ask yourself, why are you against that extreme view? And if you are so against that you don't even want to have that conversation with somebody, then how confident are you in your belief if you're not even comfortable defending it? That doesn't compute to me. Like, I mean, if I'm so passionate about something and I'm being presented with something otherwise, I will jump on every opportunity to show them why they're wrong.
Well, that's not fair though, because like if you have someone like Mel who's saying that she's got trauma in her background, there's clear reasons why she's not going to want to be confronted by an incel.
Of course, and that's an extenuating circumstance. But to make a blanket statement and say that, I mean, I have my anxiety triggers, you know, and I'm not going to do anything that would cause that, you know, that would trigger that just for the sake of combating my opposition. You know, I'll leave that up to other people. But to say that people shouldn't do that, or that they're not going to do it because, I mean, maybe there are some views that she does hold that she's very passionate about, but she still won't allow opposition on because she's against their views.
And a lot of this comes down to educating people as to what are good arguments against things that generally don't come up. Ethno-nationalism is a really fringe belief out there. People don't encounter it on the daily, if ever, in their lives. It's very, very out there. Mm-hmm. So if they meet an ethno-nationalist who's very charismatic, who comes across as very intelligent, who has statistics and this, that, and the other thing, then, well, I've never heard any arguments against it. I've just always just sort of known it's bad. What if it's a Holocaust denier who has a really compelling argument that the Holocaust never happened? I mean, would most people be able to say, other than, well, of course it happened, would you be able to, you know, counter those arguments? This is about teaching people how this is simultaneously teaching an audience and letting an audience know and absorbing how to counter what we would consider bad ideas by watching people counter bad ideas. I know I could counter a flat earther a whole hell of a lot better now than I could 3 years ago. Just from what I've absorbed.
Well said. Well said. And that's key, I think. I think we're winding down, I think, unless anybody has any last minute thoughts or anything they want to put out there before us kind of wrap things up. And chat, if you have any questions, you can feel free to tag me if you want to ask me about last night, because after tonight, I'm not referring back to last night anymore. It's a done over with thing. If people still want to be upset about it, then they're more than happy to do so. They're just gonna have to get over it or watch something else. That's
where
we are now. So if you have any questions, please feel free to ask me. I will answer them.
And I would say there's also a difference between saying I'm not gonna personally platform somebody on my channel and saying this person doesn't deserve a platform anywhere.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say deserve. I would say deserve to be.
Yeah, deserve is an unusual word, but I hope colloquially it's understood.
I don't think anyone deserves a platform.
Yeah, I mean it in a moment.
Right, right.
I do.
But I do believe that bad. I think what he's trying to say is that bad ideologies don't have to be presented on your channel. You can say that they're not going to be on your channel, but you shouldn't say that bad ideologies should not be faced head on any
channel.
They're
not allowed to be on channel.
I actually have never said that. I think we.
I never said anyone said that.
I didn't say you did.
I never said that. Just putting that out there. Just
okay.
Just as a thing.
I'm just saying because I've been under fire a lot in the side chat, and so I'm saying is fire bad back. Ideas.
Oh, you have?
Well, you know, I have. Yeah. So I what? Have. I'm the crazy redhead, apparently. So I do believe that bad ideas do need to be challenged and discussed. For my personal ideologies and what I do, I like a highly controlled environment in that, so that because the fact I don't want an association with a particular thing or to inadvertently have my particular content used for the promotion of a bad idea. So that's what I'm careful about in regard to what I think is the fine line that you walk. And that's what I was trying to get across in what I was saying. And so
I've never had that issue either.
Very fair and respectable, Mel, and nobody should criticize you for that choice.
Absolutely not. I mean, it is your platform, and you should run it the way you want. And the content that you put out, I mean, it's not even the same format, though. I mean, in your case, you know, having a controlled environment, especially with guests and everything, is a huge plus.
And it's educational. So, like, I totally understand Mel and how she does her content. Her content is great. It's just a totally different kind of content.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I have even had arguments about, like, the fact that how she wants to talk to anti-vaxxers versus how I want to talk to anti-vaxxers. Mel doesn't think we should call them terrorists.
I don't call them that because there, you know, there's studies that show the people that are on the fence are more likely to hop over to that camp if you start demonizing them outright. That's just the recent study.
I think that's an excellent point.
I agree with Katie. I think anti-vaxxers are terrorists, and that's mainly because I can't get vaccinated. So, like, they fuck with herd immunity, which fucks with me. So that's why they bother me. But anyway, like, I think that's true. If you demonize and shun a specific type of person and specific ideas, all that does is, I mean, honestly, it does push people away and can lead them to that because you look like the bad guy. And so I think it's really important that we have these conversations in semi-controlled environments, like a debate structure where you have a moderator or two that can, you know, rein it back in, but you cannot just push the ideas out like they don't exist and don't confront them, because that's only going to hurt everybody.
Yeah, I don't believe anything should be off limits as long as it's opposed.
I think anything should be discussed. Yeah, you catch more flies with bee vomit, as they say.
Look at everyone in the final stretches coming together to agree.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, I'm gonna read these super chats real quick.
You can disagree and still be friends, guys.
The South shall rise. There is the important point that I wanted to and Dave, I sent you an article. I just want you to pull up the article on the screen where people can see it. Doesn't matter like how you do it. I just want them to see the headline. In this YouTube sphere that we have. We are made up of all sorts of personalities. Everybody's got a different personality. There are a lot of type A personalities, a lot of people who think that their way is the right way, and some people who are better at, you know, maybe they bend to the wheel of what is popular, or they are going to go where what's going to get them the most views, or they're going to go with what they feel more passionate about despite the views. It runs the gambit here on YouTube. And what people have to understand, and I've said this many times, but I don't say it arrogantly at all. I have a vision for this show. I have a direction and a way in which I want to see things done. A sort of game plan, if you will. Believe it or not, it doesn't just, even though it seems like that sometimes, it doesn't just happen in a couple hours right before we go live. I am okay with platforming people who are hold extreme views, because in some cases you have like Shannon and I did with the incel show. You have somebody that comes out of it and really well and is a lot happier. You can tell by talking to him. Shannon, wouldn't you agree? You can just tell.
I really like him.
Yeah.
He's a great person. And, yeah. You know, he wouldn't have been able to even maybe discover that for himself if he hadn't have been able to have himself shaken by a conversation with people that previously he looked at us as though we were part of the reason that he was being victimized, because right. People like us only ever talked about him and never talked to him. And that fed the victim narrative, and that just helps to continue to make people more radicalized and drive them further into their crappy ideas.
Mm-hmm. I kicked him off. I kicked him off of this channel the first time he came because he said some horrible things. He used all kind of homophobic slurs in a post that I was sent, and I read that on. Read that on the stream and was so upset that I kicked him off, and I didn't want to have anything else to do with him anymore. But I got over that. And why did I get over that? Did I get over it because I wanted to or because I thought it would be fun? No. Like, I genuinely struggled with interacting with him again because of the things that he had said. But I was able to get over this doesn't go with what I think, so therefore I'm going to shut it completely out, ignore it. They're just a bunch of extreme, harmful people that don't deserve the time of day. If I had done that, if I'd have been like that, he could have still been going to that forum every single day, surrounding himself in all of that stuff. And I'm not saying that we are the reason that he is, you know, on cloud nine now, but we did something, I think, beneficial for somebody. You can tell he is in a different place. And the only reason that he's able to do that is because I was able to get over my feelings about how horrible he was and have a conversation with him. We've forgotten how to have a talk for some reason in this country.
Yeah, can I follow that up?
Every snowflake is responsible for the avalanche.
So you were talking about how, as content creators and stuff, we all have... A lot of us have strong personalities, and we all have different personalities. But, like, I feel like it's important to note that we can disagree on things, even big things, and we can still come out friends. I mean, I don't know how you all think about that, but I think that it's important that we be able to have these conversations with each other and not hate each other at the end of it.
Or call Absolutely. Each other rape apologists at the beginning of it.
Absolutely.
Or be called a at the beginning of it, right?
Absolutely.
And so my entire issue with the topic of this live stream, I guess as a final thought of mine, has always been the idea that other people should dictate who other people can either platform or have on the show, counter, respond to, or whatnot.
Yeah.
And
amen.
Fuck that noise.
I think that that's a ridiculous position to hold, and it's rather fascisty to think that you can dictate how other people run their respective channels.
It's
and everything
how, and controlling. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I very much disagree with. Like, I would never in a million years think to put Scientist Mel here on a debate or a discussion or anything with an incel. I would never force her to have an incel on her channel. I would never force her to be in the same chat as an incel.
I'd never be mad at her because she didn't want to.
No, I would never be mad at anybody because they didn't want to talk to somebody. But right. I think that the big issue that's got me on here tonight is when other people tried to either bully other creators into platforming or not platforming specific people that they want to either be platformed or not platformed or discussed or talked about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can understand making a case not to platform somebody because I recently with KC and other people, but mainly KC, convinced me not to platform She Who Shall Not Be Named.
Oh, dear God.
And And I'm not gonna talk to her anymore. I'm not gonna help her boost her social media like at all, because she looks at that stuff and you know gets off on it basically. So I mean I advocate for people trying or talking to, having reasonable conversations with somebody if they disagree with them having somebody on their channel, but just like don't ever sit there and think, oh, they shouldn't be, you know, platforming this person, and so I'm going to try to bully them into not platforming this person or talking to this person.
Or that somebody is a shitty person because they do. Right. Like, there are very good friends of mine who have had people on their channels who have been extremely terrible to me and John. I don't hate them. I'm still friends with them. Did I like it? Nope, I did not. But it's their platform, and I respect them enough and trust them with what they're doing to let them do their thing.
Who's typing? And
I have to watch it.
Like, right, I don't have to. And I mean, like, what I was trying to say earlier, you know, it's like, I mean, people, like my kids, for instance, there can be a crumbled up piece of trash on the floor, and they'll walk past it 100 times and not pick it up. But somebody has to pick it up, or it's just gonna it's the same thing with these bad ideas. People can look at it and say, oh, that's a bad idea, and then walk off, and just everybody can recognize that that's a piece of trash and it needs to be picked up, but it takes somebody walking over and picking it up.
That piece of trash has the definition of atheist and agnostic written on it, right?
Oh dear Jesus.
Oh God.
can I say
one
more
thing? If you unfold the paper and stretch it out, it says Steve McCray.
I've got to get the super chats, but yes, who was wanting to ask a question?
Yeah, it was just me. I just have one more thing to say before we go. And it kind of it piggybacks off of what Casey said. I mean, I'm not even against somebody's, like, if you personally don't think somebody deserves a platform and you want to talk about why they don't deserve a platform, that's great. Make the argument. That's like, I fully support you for not wanting that person to have a platform. But when you start to say, because somebody did give them a platform, that means X about this person.
Or now they can't have a platform.
Yeah, that's crossing a line. I agree.
That's when I start to have an issue. When you start to say, you gave this person a platform, I don't like this person, and therefore, that means all of this list of reprehensible things about you and anybody who's willing to affiliate with you are shutting down dialogue instead of perpetuating it in a positive manner.
Wait, and I can attest to this personally. There are people who will not speak to me or interact with me just because I have interacted with other people. Didn't agree with them. But just because I've spoken to other people.
Who said that part about, like...
We're not going into that. We're just talking about general ideas.
General.
You're trying to go for another 2 hours, aren't you?
Yeah.
We've
got to get these super chats.
My Adderall is worn off, you guys. Just bear with me.
What I'll say is that I think that dumpster fire management is hard. And I think that you guys do a great job at it. And I also completely agree with the sunlight is the best disinfectant thing. Sunlight is the best disinfectant thing, which has been the whole point of the Non-Sequitur show in the first place.
It's just word of wisdom. If you know the dumpster fire is going to be big, get a second hose.
Yeah. I just want to say that you look so handsome tonight, Kyle. Thank you. I love you.
Thank you.
I can't actually see Kyle.
I only see
Jim, John, Melody, and Katie.
You can't see me, right?
I can't see you. First off, we're using Skype for whatever reason in 2019.
Trust me, my camera has died. Everything is like speaker won't work.
This is your fault, then.
I did not want to do this.
Oh my goodness!
But we
saw it with Skype.
Oh, can I remove Kyle from the call?
You probably can.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Now we're going to talk about...
Thoughts fired.
That's wrong. He has his super chats super chat? He has to read.
Yeah, he's got to read the super chats.
Hey, Boo, can you read the super chats?
Did somebody actually remove him from the call?
No.
No.
Jim did. Yeah, it was Jim who did that.
I damn sure did not.
Yeah, it was. I saw you.
Oh,
you
my goodness. Shit.
Kyle, come back.
Well, like, we got dropped off. We got dropped off, like, two or three times during the thing, so he might have just got...
Yeah, he says he's going to stay out in the chat.
with that?
Oh, well, I can't see the super chat.
I just wanted to stay out in the live chat. I had that moment of peace there for a second.
It's not any better.
Hey, now I can see Kyle again.
It's worse. It's usually way worse than the live chat.
No, literally.
I can end the whole literally, show with one click.
I got kicked out. I got kicked out. And all of a sudden, there was this, like, almost spiritually calming quiet. And I was like, I could abide here. I don't have to go back here.
Kyle, you know what?
Kyle said, ethno-nationalism got me here.
Yeah, you know what? This place needs more white people. Okay. Les Angeline Pearson says, it's my night to spew all my abhorrent positions to the world, or are you going to deplatform me? No, you have a home here, sir. Brian Stevens, has anyone considered maybe having JF on Nonsec promoted critical thoughts to JF's audience? Oh, yeah, that was Shannon's point. Pragmatic culture. Y'all do good work. Quite happy you platform controversy like myself. Keep on keeping on. You're welcome. Vibrantly Brantley says, thank you for providing a platform to all this idiocy. So all this idiocy can be brought to life. Blue Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah. Bottom line.
What was the super? What was Kool-Aid super chat?
I'm reading it right now.
All right.
That's the name.
Blue Kool-Aid. Yeah, was Blue Kool-Aid?
Oh, yeah.
Say it again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Oh, goodness.
We can do better. That's pretty good.
I used to when I would do the Kool-Aid man, because I had this bright red shirt that had like the Kool-Aid face on it. I would go in the room, but I would always do the Fat Albert one, the hey instead of the
oh my goodness,
the same character.
You know,
big and red.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think I'm the only one here with the body type to actually do it. Just burst through the wall and be like, oh yeah.
Do you want to know how sad, like, because today I've just been like on edge all day long just because of the Twitter bullshit that was going on, which I feel a lot better about now. But I literally I was making this. I can't believe I'm telling this out in public, but I was literally making a sandwich. Right now, I do a lot of stuff like on a tablet.
People do. Yes.
And and the computer, like with Adobe or whatever. So I'm constantly clicking like the back button, like the undo button. I'm making a sandwich, and I put the wrong kind of I have two kinds of mayo that I use, and I grabbed the wrong one out of the refrigerator. I literally was pushing the counter for an undo button, like refresh.
What?
Back button. Seriously.
You know what I did the other day, Kyle? So I'll tell an embarrassing story too. I was trying to do a Google search, and I typed it into Twitter, and I tweeted a search.
Nice.
Well, that's one way to get an answer.
Yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Tell me about the War of 1812, Twitter.
So, I have to let me clarify, because somebody said, what do you mean the wrong mayo?
The wrong mayo.
Yeah, they're saying, yeah,
that doesn't only
like,
white people.
That sounds like a really deep
There's a regular mayo, and then I have this Chipotle, like smoked Chipotle mayo that I grabbed the wrong one. Okay,
you're so, bougie, Kyle.
So Blue Kool-Aid says, bottom line is no one is forced to watch. Don't like conversation, don't watch. It's amazing. We have to talk about this. It's PC BS. I agree. It is amazing that we have to talk about this bullshit. But nonetheless, I was willing to give it the talk and hear people's criticisms. And now that's done and over with. Some guy says, summary pro, impossible to control. The audience isn't stupid. People can change. Con, I'm uncomfortable unless someone is opposing them. That's a good point. David Page.
So beta.
I agree with Kyle here. The offensive and uncomfortable ideas should be exposed rather than be hidden away where they can fester. Godless recovery. The idea that only some conversations should be had or only had in certain ways is anathema to discourse. I can't believe this is somehow controversial. I agree. 0132132. If I'd stayed on topic, I wouldn't have gotten the complete wrong impression. When it went off topic, there wasn't really a counter. That's not on Steve or Kyle, though. Godless recovery. Some of y'all are so wrong, but I still love you. We still love you, too.
I think this piece of shit.
I've got five more.
<You're right.
laughs> Five more. Lysandrine Pearson, when I engage with someone with a fringe belief, I am doubtful that I would change their mind. I engage in the discussion to influence those who observe it, not to change my opponent's mind. This needs to be done more. I think that's a very good
point. That's a good attitude to have.
I go in there with the intention to change their mind, but the expectation to change other minds.
Yeah, if you might not be responsible for changing someone's mind yourself on that day with specifically your arguments, but it takes it's a process for a lot of people, especially if these are deeply held beliefs.
Yep. Two-headed Tasmanian said, "Keep silent." Oh, no, I'm not reading. I'm sorry, two-headed Tasmanian. I can't read that. Some guy said, "Summary tube."
Safe for YouTube. Surely it's safe for us.
It's unkind.
Yeah, it's. I don't want to. I've had enough. Of the. I don't want any more tension or animosity. Some guy said, "Summary to pro: bad ideas already have an audience. Exposing the audience to the opposite opinion, showing bad ideas makes them fall on their own." Three more. Grokster says, "If you can't publicly argue with opposition viewpoints, then you're not fit to participate in politics or intellectual matters. Everything is debatable." I agree. David Page, having open discussions without censorship is what I value the most about Non Sequitur. They are my first ever super chat, by the way. Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Glad we were your first.
Got him.
And Joshy Neurotic says, this format is fine the way it is. Don't change. And David Page, I agree. Don't change Non Sequitur. Well, you're in luck because we are not going to change.
Unless you're talking about Skype.
Yeah.
never again on Skype, please. Yeah,
never again.
Skype will definitely change. But we usually don't use Skype. I don't. For some reason, vMix was acting up. But yeah.
Oh, that's why we didn't use that. Okay.
Oh, dang.
I think the mics that are on Skype are really harsh.
Terrible.
I've got four more that just came in. Kyra says, "I learned beer is a great way to deal with stupidity."
Yep. Smack him on the head with it. Yeah.
Logan Ross says, "Non-sec modded well and pushed back." All bases were covered. Demonic Davro says, "Kyle, I am a hetero male, but I have great love for you and what you stand for. Keep the idiots and conspiracy nuts coming." You got it. Beyond that,
that's gay.
Hetero male.
He would go. I think he meant he would go gay for you.
It's okay.
I bet he's even straight and white.
I'll be gentle. Leon said, "Kyle, any topics off limits for Non Sequitur?" No. Fletcher Eiler says, "Kyle, your show, GEs and others are excellent shows. I hope you guys don't change your platform. Keep up the good work, fellas." Well, I'll say in closing that no, there's not a chance in hell I'm going to change anything. I am extremely confident and happy in the way that this show is going and the work that we do and how we do it and the motivation that that drives it. I don't listen a lot of times to popular opinion. If I did, JF wouldn't have came back. But I believe that with JF being in the sort of spotlight like he is and having the following that he is, it is good to be able to have him come on. And instead of him just speaking to people that already agree with him, let them come into a situation to where he will be challenged on these and see if those people continue to follow that. Only good can come of that. So no, I won't be kowtowing to people's whims about what is offensive and what is not. I won't be pushed by outrage. And Non-Sequitur is not going to change. This was a good talk. I'm glad that we had it. But we're still going to be hitting the pavement just like we always do on Saturdays tomorrow with Flatterday night fights. And next week, an entire new slew of crazy people for you to come and get pissed off at. So strap in because we're not going anywhere. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.